Welcome back. This is Richard from Lost Arts Radio, and we're here with Dr. Cousins. Just want to remind you guys, we were just talking to Doug before the show, and according to a great idea from Dr. Cousins, we're going to start allowing Q&A during the broadcast for those of you who want to listen live. And if you're hearing this on a recording, you can tune into the live show on Twitch and DLive and Facebook at 11 o'clock Pacific time in America, and Gabriel will go over the European and Israeli times. And if you tune in live, you'll be able to join us with Q&A and comments and anything you'd like to hear to mention. And I think it'd make things really a lot more depth to get some live response. So you're welcome to do that. And in our brief time today, we're going to get some insights into the world situation and possible responses, so we don't have to blow up civilization and we can bring things back closer to normal. Gabriel's got some ideas to share on that, so welcome, Dr. Cousins, and thanks.
Okay, good. So I think we talk about roughly 11:15 Eastern Standard Time, okay, and Israel time it's 9:15 p.m. It's 11:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
No, Gabriel, it's 11:15 Pacific. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's 2:15 Eastern.
Okay, good. Good. I think we got, you're right, it's 2:15. 7 hour difference.
Yeah.
So I think we got the right times now.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And so what we're going to do is what we always do. We want to dance to get the spiritual joy going. And then we'll be talking more about the situation, which is the simplicity and the complexity. And we're not just talking just politics. It's just the whole world has gotten complex but simple. So let's start with a little dance for a few minutes. Dance for spiritual joy, which is one way of moving away from the complexity, is to feel the spiritual joy in your heart. let's take a minute or two to just meditate on that spiritual joy. Just focus on my eyes and let's just in the meditation. Yom. So I welcome you all with love and to what I want to do is actually introduce Doug to explain how we can go live with questions and answers. So Doug, can you explain that, please?
Sure, yeah. I mean, if anyone wants to ask any questions, they're welcome to do so in chat. And you can do that on Twitch or on Facebook or on DLive. We're live on all three of those platforms right now. So you're welcome to type a question into chat and I will post it on the screen. Dr. Cousins and Dr. Sachs can address the question then when they're ready.
So let me see, because I'm not so great with computers. Let's say they go to Twitch, and they will have chat on that. They'll type in a question, so it's live.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's how it works. They can just type it right into the chat there. Mm-hmm.
They can't call it.
Correct. No phone calls. It's only through typing.
Okay, good. I need to hear that, because some of my stuff, we have sets of people who call it. So, you know, everything's a little different. Excellent. Thank you. So we are looking at, dealing with questions and answers, but we're dealing with what I'm going to call the simplicity in the complexity. Now, generally what's happening is people are getting caught in the complexity. We talk about global warming. Well, global warming happened. Global cooling happened. There are cycles of global warming and cooling. In the 1970s, people were saying this is the planet is going to become one big iceberg. And then in 1998, we're talking about global warming. Now we're into a cycle of a little bit of global cooling, maybe 1 degree, not significant. Well, it is significant. And then we're going to move a little bit into some global warming again. And then back in the global cooling. But the fact is, it's not anything to do with carbon dioxide or industry. Global warming and cooling have been going on for thousands of years. Now, that's my point. We have created this complex thing about carbon dioxide, and now I'm reading articles. I read articles before, but in the last day or two, that CO2 is really related to global cooling. And in fact, with increased CO2, we're having not deserts, but the greening of the deserts, because CO2 is the food that plants need. So everything is like backwards, but they create a complexity so people can't understand it. With the scientific background, we come into, okay, fine, we got CO2, the deserts are shrinking. The deserts are shrinking. Now the environmentalists are complaining about the deserts are shrinking. Why? Because it's greening. We have a greening of the planet, and that comes from a higher CO2, which lags behind global warming and cooling. So we have a complexity, all these things going on, but the simplicity is we have slight, right now it's slight global cooling by just a degree. In 2010 it was 1 degree cooler. And then it's going to cycle back into warming. And then it's going to cycle back into cooling. It's up and down. That has to do with the rotation of the Earth in relationship to the sun, not human-made carbon dioxide. As they say, they've been able to trace back global warming and cooling for thousands of years, which is before the industrial age, of course, and having a lag of CO2. That's just one example where we can look at the simplicity. Yeah, there are cycles, but they're not related to too much industry or global warming, unless there were great industrial cycles, thousands of years ago. So that's just one example. We can look at other things going on, the Russian-Ukraine thing. Well, at one point, Ukraine was part of Russia. Now, I'm not pro-Russia. I'm also not pro-Nazi, Ukraine. Because in 2014, it was mostly Russian, and then there was a battle mostly sponsored by the U.S. where the Nazis kind of came in, the Ukrainian Nazis, and it shifted back the other way. So there's a simplicity here, which is people attempting to be independent. The Azanovs, with a Nazi kind of tendency. So, we've been trained Nazis are bad, and then suddenly Nazis are good. It's like, it seems like we're being fed a lot of different stories depending on those who are attempting to control the planet in that way, control the consciousness in that way. So this goes on and on. We were talking before we started, and I was just mentioning before 1948, all the Jewish people living in the area of Israel were called, ready for this, Palestinians. So I know people who were a little bit older, they explained to me they were called Palestinians before 1948 because of what the Romans did in Palestinia. They made up this name. And Arabs came in the 1880s. The town I'm living in became a town in 1882. Around that time, there was more population coming here, and they were they pulled a lot in the Arab work. They could bring Arab workers in because it was really a desert. People couldn't believe that after thousands of years, or at least 2,000 years, suddenly the desert was going to bloom. Those are prophecies. Most people didn't believe it, but that is exactly what's happening. The prophecies are coming true. And where I live, it's not a desert anymore. We're about 15 minutes from the Mediterranean, where we go at least once a week, swimming. And, and one other thing I want to point out is, we go through their village to get there, and we buy flowers, we do this, that, from, the Arab people, and people are making a real effort to be friendly. You don't have this kind of sour look. They make, I want to shake your hand. I want to, you know, really be positive. Our local health food store is run by, an Arab ownership, and all the workers are Arab. Everybody goes out of their way to be really friendly, really nice, and but keeping their identity and talking, dressing with the hijab and all that, but we make an effort. So people, at least where I live, are making effort to really be friendly and nice and with each other in a good way, helping each other in a good way. So I think that's a thing it's hard for people to get, because the way the picture is, again, painted as if there's this intense polarity. Now, in some places there is. But I'm just saying we're in more central Israel. It's not the case. I mean, I'm not, rockets are still landing within an hour from where we live. But it's not a concern. And again, people work together in terms of making things work. Richard, is there anything you want to add into that?
I think what you're saying is a really important point. And one of the things that it illustrates is that there's a difference between the common people, all of us, and the rulers that are moving things in world events. And very often this terminology is kind of glossed over in the news reporting and commentaries that we hear, that Russia did this, Ukraine did this, America did this, Israel did this. That's talking about the rulers in general. The common people are busy doing, as you described, living their lives, trying to get along, most of them trying to be nice to each other, do the business and the whatever they have to get done during the day for their families. They're not out thinking what countries they want to invade and who they want to kill. That's not healthy and normal, and it's not the characteristic of most of the people. It's the rulers, and it's being pushed by our media as well.
I mean, we share the same beaches. It's just everything is, it's not how it's being portrayed. People really, I'm saying, maybe because of what's going on, making a real effort to get along, right. To be nice, to go into, as I say, we stop and we'll get flowers for the week, and there's a lot of places that grow flowers and plants, and mostly they're run by Arabs, and we, I always want to shake your hand, I always want to, to talk and be very positive, and I think it's a really important thing that goes on.
There's also a difference between the sovereignty of individuals and countries and communities and religions, sovereignty and individuality of those, but they can all still cooperate, versus the illusion of unity represented by organizations like the UN that are to take away everybody's sovereignty and rule with a single dictatorship. It's the opposite concept. So,
yeah.
That's an important distinction to understand.
I'm not very pro-UN. I just say that. I agree with you.
It's a completely evil organization.
When you get to the source of it, you go back to Aleister Crowley and Alice Bailey. And Sir Crowley is known as the number one black magician, occultist. Alice Bailey actually was one of the key founders of the UN. They had a slightly different name for it then. I'm not talking about the League of Nations, I'm talking about the UN. And it is actually founded in very dark principles. I worked at the UN. I didn't work at the UN. I did peace meditations at the UN. And then somewhere in 1995, they decided they didn't want any more peace meditations. And I'm talking about meditations with the UN staff. from all the different countries.
That would have been a good thing.
It was really good. It was fun. It was good. People from all different nations and stuff. But we're working with the workers. Okay. And then it just changed within a year. Something happened. And suddenly we weren't allowed in the meditation room. And we weren't allowed really to do it in the hallways. They said, fine, you can't come to the meditation. Fine, we'll do it in the hallways. So we did. You know, people are doing our meditation in the hallways, but then they just said, "No, we don't want to have a peaceful meditation."
Maybe this is they recognize that it had potential
meditation. Okay, get what I just said. It's the world peace meditation, which we're doing in each Equinox and Solstice. UN says they don't want a peace meditation. No, go ahead, Richard.
Completely against their principles.
Yeah. Well, but the truth is their deeper principles are not about world peace. And that's kind of where it became very clear to us. Which is, of course, unfortunate because I idealized that we were literally, I wasn't living in New York, but we would go to New York four times a year, equinox and solstice, and Peace 20, what it was called. So it's like, you know, it was a big deal. And again, we had people from all different countries participating. It was a real UN. It was kind of cool. So all these things, you know, but the simplicity and the complexity is meant to confuse you. The simplicity is, there are cycles of global warming. The simplicity is, people actually are nice and they want to help each other, you know? And that's the simplicity behind it. If, you know, I go into a health food store, which is run by, you know, women, they're all in the hijabs and all, we're all smiling at each other, you know, and helping and doing different things. It's just so different than people imagine it is. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, but it's really trying to help each other. I remember once I went to my dentist in town, it was maybe 20 minutes away, and after I got out of there, there was an Arab lady, and she was having trouble with her car, you know, and I was helping her with her car, and I got in her car and did this and did that, and, you know, and people are cooperating. You know, that it's not like we're fighting each other. If I have, I remember once there's a little shopping mall. Again, it's a mix of everybody. And I was having some trouble with the money machine. And this is Arab lady. She's trying to help me get it straight, you know. And it's like, people really are basically good at heart. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think that's the simplicity within the complexity of the political people and moving towards a one world, you know, government, of, you know, a totalitarian world state. You know, at the people level, the people are trying to be nice to each other. You know, everybody's trying to make life work for themselves. Anything you want to add there, Richard? We just have a few minutes.
Yeah, I think in line with the basic principle of the World Peace Meditation that you were talking about for the UN, it's normal people are nice to each other as a matter of course, but it's also important to realize that even the people that have sold out to evil and to going against their normal humanity, it's possible for them to come back. And there's underneath the evil facade of the people working for darkness is a spirit and life force, and it can still be reached. And I think that's part of the effort of the World Peace Meditation, because if you go along with the definition of your adversaries as subhuman, and irredeemable, you're setting the stage for permanent conflict. And if you realize that everybody's redeemable and everybody is reachable, even the ones that seem like they're not, then there's a possibility of harmony in the future. And it's a totally different course of action.
So my approach to that is everything you're saying is true, but I'm more interested in, you know, working with people who are showing some willingness to connect.
I think on the physical level, that's true. But on the spiritual level, you're working with everybody.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying, I take the Sufi position, love everybody and tie up your camel. And
right.
But when that, you do your meditation, I'm trying to say, because I don't like people, I don't want people to be not successful. And
No, I'm not talking about trying to convince nasty people to be nice. That's not rewarding.
Yeah.
But so when you're working on the meditation level, you're reaching through the facades that are the dark ones as well.
Right. So that's kind of, you know, the beauty of it. Where I live is a beautiful mix of all that happening. Where it's clear to me people have an intention to get along from all different kind of places. And that's, to me, very, very positive. So I'm kind of staying it from right in the middle of it all. So that's kind of a perspective from the Middle East, and I don't think I'm being idealistic here. I'm just saying, as you said in the beginning, everyday people, we're just working together, supporting each other.
Right.
You know.
I think the reason I brought up the other level is that we have rulers right now in all of our countries that are really pushing toward world war. And I'd like to see that change.
Yes. Yes.
While there's still time.
Yes. It's really important. So actually, it's very important we all make a lot of effort right now. And I'm not just tuning in to the elections in the United States here. But in October, there's some kind of global shift that's going to be very, very difficult for people. Again, not related to the U.S. election so much as things getting really out of hand with the debt and the economy. And so people have to work even harder to work together. In this whole thing, because the truth is we're all in it together. And that's a little bit how I feel here, where we are. You know, the Druze recently had an attack on their Druze village on the soccer field. 14 kids, 12 or 14 kids at were killed. It's like, this is not an accident. And you have to understand, people can look down from the Golan Heights or above that from Syria, from Lebanon, and actually see what they're shooting at. And it's a concern because people are trying to provoke a situation. It was very interesting to see Israeli leadership actually going out there and being part of a memorial ceremony. Netanyahu actually went there, which is pretty unusual because the Jews are around. There's a Jews restaurant here, there's this and that, but they're not as integral to the society because their tribalism cuts across into Syria and different places. So so for Israeli leadership, politicians to go there and and be part of a memorial was very, very significant. And again, moving to work together in that way. That was interesting. But that's what has to happen. It's all the little steps where people kind of show faith and, you know, just simple like a smile and, you know, helping each other in different ways. It's good. It's important. You know? So that's the beauty that we have. That's the potential that we have, is the small actions become bigger and bigger positive actions. So that's kind of the blessing too, is that may we keep working with each other with a lot of kindness and humility, so each little small action starts to build to bigger and bigger levels of kindness. So peace be with you and be with all of us on this planet. So I thank Doug and I thank Richard. And in the future, people can write questions. Now, I just have a question to Doug. So when the program isn't active, how do they write a question?
Well, the only way to do that would be to email it in.
To who?
info@lostartsradio.com. We'd get it to Richard and I, and we could post it in the next show.
Okay, info@lostartsradio.com. Okay, good. So correct. They can write in questions they have, and that may affect our, you know, what we're talking about. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I thank Richard for your good work and persistence, and Doug behind the scenes, although you weren't so behind the scenes today. So that was good. So, Richard, anything you want to say? So I bless everyone that we keep keeping your hearts open and moving towards more and more inner peace, becoming outer peace.
I just want to second everything you've said about people coming back to normal and simplicity. The depth of understanding of how things really are is extremely simple. You know, we're all from one origin. We're actually literally family members, one spirit in many different identities. And to bring that back into daily life, you don't have to convince anybody of anything. Just watch where your thoughts and your emotions are going. You're actually broadcasting that to the world. And you can broadcast it to everybody, including our leaders that need to come back into normal condition too before they succeed in following what they're doing. And beware of the media. There's still a lot of people watching and believing the mainstream media. And you mentioned October being some kind of a shift. There's a meeting that I would want to mention, October 2nd or 3rd, I think it's something like that. And they're going to be discussing how to roll out the restrictions and the national pandemic of the bird flu. And just bear in mind, anything that has to be diagnosed with PCR is a fake. And the media is not being sincere. They're just reading off teleprompters. So don't fall for it. Hold on to normal, like Gabriel was talking about. And let us come back to where we're supposed to be. That doesn't have to be a nightmare in the world. It can be the opposite. So, and then the only other thing I would mention is that Gabriel has programs aimed in that direction that can all be found at drcousins.com or at treeoflife.mn.co. And we have Planetary Healing Club that you're all welcome to. It's still up in the air until we finally resolve the situation that has been trying to take me out for a number of years now, but hopefully that's near an end. And it's time to have a shift, not like the negative ones that we're having to mention, but a shift back to normal, unity, diversity in the real way, individual sovereignty, cooperating for a single goal of harmony in the world, and we have the power to do that. Anything you want to add, Gabriel, before we close up?
No, that was perfect. That was good.
Okay, thanks for being here, you guys. And I think Gabriel's idea of the Q&A and comments is good. Remember that you can email, most of you are listening to this as a podcast. after it's, you know, closed down in the live form. And you can get your participation in by emailing comments to info@lostartsradio.com, like Doug just put on the screen. Or if you happen to be available live, we start sometime around 11:15, 11:20 Pacific time on Mondays, and similar time zones all around the world at the same time. So please join in if you'd like to. We'd like to hear from you. Take care and have a great week, and we'll see you here next time.